sounding like the guy from Creed. Here, can you take me higher? NBA Strayer, how you going? That's right, it is Tuesday, March 19, all day. It really is. This is NBA Strayer. I'm your host, James Clements. You can see me on Fox Sports Lab NBA. You can see me on the AFL Today Show. You can see me on the official AFL Supercoach podcast as well. All the good stuff there. I'm here in the James Clements Excellence in Podcasting Memorial Studio, aka the Code Studios. And Anthony Edwards nearly killed a guy. So that's pretty cool. Bit mean. But, I mean, John the Baptist got John baptized today, I reckon. Anyway, we've got the game wraps for today. We've got That's Not a Knife, Old Maid, No Maid, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. We've got some Yeah Nahs. We've got the unpopular opinion of the day. We've got our back take. Guess where we're serving out a flame grill take. Is the take put Anthony Edwards in jail for manslaughter? Maybe. There's an Andrew Gaze Grand Mum reward for outstanding achievement in the field of excellence and a pick and preview for the five games tomorrow, which is awesome because your mate Jim's got a lot on his plate and five games is just the right amount. So we smashed the picks today as well, BT Dubs. Happy days for everybody. So let's get into it, shall we? I think we bloody well better. All to Jim, episode 1056 of NBA Straya. What do we say? Let's go!
This is Joe Ingles, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Well, you better watch out for the Anthony Edwards attack, right? If you're John Collins. John Collins, that's a tall cocktail. It's not really that much of a tall cocktail when you've been put 6 feet underground, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, we'll start today's show the way we start every show here with the daily whoosh. It's a whip around. And geez, Jim, are you getting better at doing the whip crack sound? Yes. Makes me very happy. The old mouth surgery, roof of the old mouth, it's getting so sort of small that I can't kind of forget about it now, which is kind of good. And you can actually sort of make noises like that, so that's good. Right, anyway, that's enough of Jim's medical updates. Let's start some news. OG, the OG Ananobi's out again. I also liked it the way that this was put down. Is that the Knicks need OG to sit for just a little bit. They need, because it's his elbow injury, has flared up again. They need to calm it down. I like that they're talking about his elbow like the way I talk about my mate Tall Kane after 8 beers. It's like, geez, just need to fucking take him outside and settle him down. Fucking come here, dickhead. Fucking pull your head in. You're going to get us all kicked out. All that good stuff. So that sort of sucks for the Knicks. They still beat the Warriors today in awesome fashion. And missing OG, obviously, just it kills their ceiling. Same with Randle, who has just mysteriously disappeared off the... Maybe Julius Randle is Kate Middleton. We haven't heard fucking hide nor hear from both of them in fucking months. It's bullshit. Actually, would he be the least likely to be Kate Middleton of every player in the NBA? Jim, what are your Kate Middleton ranks? Well, probably number one, Isaiah Hartenstein. He sounds like one of those weird inbred fucking royals. I don't know. But otherwise, Bilal Coulibaly. I love him, but he's out for the rest of the season. There you go. There's one less reason to watch the Wizards. There aren't many left. But actually, that really does sucks for the Wiz. Sucks for the Wiz. It sucks for the Wiz for the simple fact that literally, as I've sort of laid out time and time again, there's like three reasons to watch the Wizards. A, you're betting on them. B, they're young dudes. And C, you're a fucking sadomasochist. But either way, Christian Wood's also out for the Lakers. That's because he's getting an arthroscopic procedure. Just say surgery. Procedure. Look, there's nothing like procedural about a fucking arthroscope. Like they're cutting into you to look at it using the arthroscope. It's a surgery, you dickheads. Anyway, so he'll be sidelined for a couple of weeks. Lakers fans will be like, that's not so bad, to be honest. Christian Wood not giving us much. And the last little bit of news is that Jalen Green somehow won Player of the Week for the West. A little bit too late for my fantasy team. Jalen, you're killing me, boyo. Killing me. Mate, you've just gone and completely ruined my season. This is, it's like, yeah, thanks a lot. You know, the season's 2 weeks done, basically, if you miss the playoffs and your mate Jim's in the consolation bracket. 26 points a game, 8.7 rebounds, 3 assists. Too little, too fucking late, Jalen. Anyway, Jalen Brunson. It's just the double Jalen. They've just Jalened it all up. He averaged 35 and 5 assists. That's pretty bloody good. So he's the East Player of the Week. Good stuff, though. Kind of nice, like, double up. If you're going to have two Jalens, like, that's cool. You could have thrown Jalen Johnson in there as well. Who knows? But good stuff. And the rest of the sort of, that's kind of it for the NBA news today. Like, you had Kevin fucking Huerta, aka the Ginger Ninja. There he goes. He gets a shoulder injury against the Grizzlies today. A bit of a tough one. And Tatum sat out the Detroit game because it was Detroit. And Boston still flat out straight killed them. So it's pretty good. And otherwise, that's about it in terms of news. So without further ado, let's get into the game wraps.
Game wraps.
That's right, the game wraps. Cleveland. They beat the Pacers 108-103. Now, I believe on this year's show yesterday, I did pick Cleveland. I talked myself in circles trying to pick this game as well, you might remember. And then they announced that the minivan, George Niang, was going to start along with my sweet baby, Caris LeVert, in place of Donnie Mitchell, who was out. And I'm like, I think I'm still going to bet on them. So I did. Feeling pretty good. They win by 5. Now, if you ever needed any sort of skerrick of proof, I guess, of the NBA and the refs going, we're not trying to, like, you know, advantage the defenses a little bit more over the top of the offenses because you went a little bit too far, but we never said that directly, but also we did. Look at this game, 108-103. Rewind the clock a little bit, and I swear to God, this game, back in November, I want to say, was 121-116. So before that, it was 125-113. If you needed any proof of this shit, here it is, writ large, 108-103. 16 free throws for the Pacers, 28 for the Cavs. A lot of that was my sweet baby, Caris LeVert, and go the fro, Jared Allen, just a couple of former Nets. Gee, I reckon they could use those guys right now. 23-8-11 for my sweet baby, Caris LeVert. He was awesome. 23-9 for go the fro, Jared Allen. Darius Rucker, Judy Garland had a horrible shooting night. He goes 13 points, but he shot 5 of 18. Jesus, including 1 of 9 from downtown. The Pacers were even worse, though. 4 of 13 for Halliburton. 14 points, 12 assists, 3 turnovers, 1 of 9 from downtown for him. He had TJ McConnell, he's had 7-11 shooting. 9 of 18 for Pascal Siakam. A lot of whinging at the end of this. Some weird ref decisions, some weird overturns, some weird challenges. And you're like, what are we doing here? Just time after time. JB Bickerstaff reacted so perfectly calmly. I think it was, George Niang, that's who it was, just muscling up to Pascal Siakam on an inbounds pass. Siakam sort of just fell over. And Niang's literally got his hands up, just going, I'm just moving a giant body in front of this guy. And they're like, that's a foul. And JB Bickerstaff's like, no, it's fucking not. Challenge, Jesus. And rightly got it overturned. And you're like, what was that ref fucking saying? What are you doing sometimes, you know? Anyway, it's a big win for the Cavs because this sort of keeps them right there in the nuts and guts of the race in the 3 seed, basically, right? Because if they need to keep sort of winning to stick ahead of the Knickerbockers and the Magic Men, they're only 2 games up in the Knicks in the 3-4 spots. And then 1 more game between them and the Magic. So tough one for the Pacers, who now slipped down to 7 after the Sixers also won. So Cleveland are now 43-25. Pacers 38-31. I'm going to talk about Halliburton in a second. It's getting a bit weird, I'll tell you. Getting a bit weird. Anyway, next game. We had the Detroit Pistons get absolutely smasherated by Boston, 119-94. Don't need to go into this one too much. Good to see Jaden Ivey actually have a half-decent game, 21-5-5 for him. That was about the extent of it. Detroit suck. They are bad. Yeah. Like, even though this line was like 16.5, you're still like, Boston should be fine. And they were. Without Tatum, didn't matter. They had 31 from Jaylen Brown. They had 23-7 from Peyton Pritchard. He had 5 threes. They went 6-12 for Derek White, who had a triple-double, his first ever, 22-10-10. And 20-8 for Kristaps Porzingis, extreme zing a meal. which is pretty good. Boston moved to 54-14. Detroit, 12-56. Almost flip it up and reverse it. We then had, I believe, Miami-Philly. This was a weird game where Philly, as soon as Miami announced that Jimmy Butler was not playing in this one, I switched my pick to the Sixers because it's like, okay, no Jimmy Butler, no Tyler Hero. They do have Patty Mills, but you knew that Kyle Lowry, big booty Kyle Lowry, was going to come out all guns blazing, and he actually did. Played an awesome game. 98-91, Philly win it. He had a big maxi game. He had 30-8 with 10 assists. He had a really good 22-point game from Kelly Oubre Jr. This is the Kelly Oubre experience, isn't it, Sixers fans? You're like, why can't he do this every day, Jim? This very simple answer is because he's Kelly fucking Oubre. Simple as that. He's never going to do it all the time because he's a lunatic. Anyway, big booty Kyle Lowry. Love that game from him. Showing the young Bucks how it's done against his old team. Which is weird because it doesn't really feel like Kyle Lowry was ever much of a Heat guy, right? He's like, wait, how many skin folds are we allowed to have? Nah, fuck this, bro. I'm out of here. He's like me. Hey, Jim, can you stop drinking beers to keep this job? I'm like, nah, I can't do it, man. Can't do it. How many beers do you want me to not drink? Just imagine if they did skin fold tests in the ear, Gerald. Be all over Red Rover, I'll tell you that much. Jesus. Anywho, Oubre went 10-19. That was really good. Big booty Colorado had 16-4 with one assist, but hit three threes as well. They just sort of controlled that game. It's a good win for the Sixers. They are 38-30. Still just behind the Miami Heat, who are 37-31. But that sort of does leave them at least. Wait, no, that's better. 38-30. What am I talking about? They're in the sixth spot. Heat are in eighth with that loss. So it'd be a tough one for them. What else? We had Portland, Chicago, 110-107. The Blazers just come up short. Not a real giant surprise in the old Martell Webster, LaMarcus Aldridge bowl. Jeez, Jim, does anybody else call that? No, no, they don't. That's a Jim special, that one. 30-9 for Anthony Penny Simons, 25-15 for Domin Aiton. And 14-1 for the Great Barrier Reef. Doo-wop, ba-ba, doo-wop, shibba-da-bop, doo-wop. His name's Duo, the Grim Reaper. Bang, off they go. Blazers put up a fight late, came flying back into it. Chicago hold them off. DeMar DeRozan there had 28. He was awesome. 23 for DeSunmu. And 22-9 for Vooch. Caruso did not put on much of a Caruso show. 5 points on five shots, all of which were from downtown. And the big rig Andre Drummond at 9-11. But that means the Bulls are actually very, very close to 534-35. Can they do it? Can they do it, Bulls fans? Let's find out. I can't wait to see if they can actually get to 500 and maybe, just maybe, go above. And the Blazers are 19-49. Who do the Bulls play in the next couple of games to get them over 500? Their next game is against the Rockets, then the Celtics. Tough. Then they got the Wizards and the Pacers. Interesting. Brooklyn, Minnesota. Hawks, Knicks. Magic, Knicks. Pistons, Wizards, Knicks. Going to say they're going to finish under 500. Sorry, Bulls fans, but that's how it goes, I guess. What else happened today after that one? So, yeah, poor one out for the Blazers, but that team is just more cooked than one of my old man's snags. Minnesota. Held off of frisky Utah. Larry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen came back. Obviously, Ant-Man killed John Collins. That's a tall cocktail in this game. It was a tight game until that exact moment. Then it was over because John Collins died and Anthony Edwards killed him with the best dunk you'll see this year. It was more of a throw-in dunk. Gerald, do you like that one? A thrunk where it's not like completely crammed in. Had a little bit of a distance on it, but that's all right. You get that on the big jobs, don't you? We're not going to ping him for that. Style points. Lowry ends up with 22-12, 15 for Keontae George, the rookie, 24 for the sex man off the bench. He had 5 threes. But yeah, the Wolves outscored them by 10 points in the fourth quarter. What do they win by? You guessed it. 10 points. Good win. They had a pretty handy sort of like, what, 17 from Naz Reid. He went out late. Because he had the 17-17 minutes, and you're like, he's absolutely flying. Goes out with a checking for a concussion, 10-6-5 for Kyle Anderson. The fact that they did this without both the big men was one of those ones where you're like, yeah, always check this before betting on any NBA games. Like, what has the team tweeted out? Is it going to be their starting lineup? Did you check the injury update? No Gobert, he was out with a rib injury, and obviously no Karl Anthony Towns with a knee. But to do this, and they lose Naz, to win this by 10 was absolutely insane. And just a testament to, look, I've mentioned this time and time again, the Wolves winning these sorts of games this year means that there's something different about this game, well, about this team. And that something different is Anthony fucking Edwards, because he is an absolute weapon, 32-7-8, couple of block shot, 13-23. He's bloody good. He's bloody good. They're 47-21 now, the Wolves. Utah, they're 29-39 and stealth tanking, but bringing Lowry back, pretty cool. I'll pay it because it means they're at least still trying a little bit. What else? We then had the Knickerbockers of New York City beat the Golden State Warriors, who are now 17-18 at home. Remember when they couldn't lose at home last year? Yeah, that's not going on, is it, anymore? This was a really, really fun game because the Knicks, I did pick them on yesterday's show, just saying, just toot my own horn, beep, beep. Is that your horn, Jim? Yes. 119-112, even Gerald liked that one. 119-112, the Warriors, Steph could never really quite get into a groove. He shot 8 of 20 for his 27 points, but 4 of 13 from downtown. It's just that hint of inefficiency from Steph shooting that'll sink you sometimes. 16 for Cumbucket, Johnny Kuminga. 2 of 9 for Andrew Wiggins, though. Maple Jordan just absolutely falling apart. 1 of 7 for Draymond. Brutal gear. Clay at least hit 5 of 10 from downtown. He had 18 points. And Trace Jackson Davis had 19 and 9. He's a fucking weapon. God, he's good. It's like they've just sort of cloned like a weird combo of Draymond and Kevon Looney and just like mashed them together and went, all right, off you go, Rook. He's bloody good. Chris Paul, 14, 4 and 4 off the bench. But just not quite enough, right? They just couldn't hang with them. They shot 47%, 14 to 36 from downtown. That's what the Knicks shot. They went 14 to 37, and three extra turns for the Warriors basically killed them. So pretty crazy. 29 for Miles McBride. Deuce, he's awesome. He was really good in this game. 34, 5 and 7 for Brunson. Isaiah Hartenstein, hello. Out there looking like Kate Middleton. 13, 10 and 4 with two steals and a block. He was fan-bloody-tastic against this small Warriors team. So good job by him. Josh Hart had another triple-double. The old Jason Kidd triple-double. The 10, 11, and 11. Love it. And of course, hold on there, DiVincenzo. Hit 4 threes, 4 of 8 from downtown for his 18 points. Josh Hart shot 5 of 18, including 0 of 6 from triple land. But God, didn't matter. When you got Miles McBride going 6 of 9, nice from downtown. Makes a big difference. The Knicks, that defense just... the way they can lean on it, the way they can get out there and basically play with four guards and a center is and win against the Warriors is awesome. I fucking love this Knicks team. I don't know what to tell you. It's weird. It's awesome. They're super janky and all they do is win, win, win no matter what. Even though Julius Randle's part of a Royals plot, they're 41-27, the Warriors 35-32. This Middleton-Julius Randle thing, I'm just going to keep rocking with it, Joel. No fucking round. I love it. What else? We then had Atlanta kick the shit out of the Lakers. Wait, no, other way around. Lakers kicked the shit out of Atlanta, what I'm saying. 105-136. AD actually played in this one after getting his eye popped out of its socket the other day. Not really, but, you know, close enough. 27 for D'Lo, hit 6 threes. He's gone 6 of 10. There's a weird stat about that. It's weird that D'Lo is basically... you know, the Lakers' best three-point shooter in a season since Nick the Quick, Nick Van Axel. So just weird. I don't like that. D'Lo. Oh, iconic Laker. Nah, Nick Van Axel. That's an iconic Laker. LeBron James had 25, 7, and 10. Absolutely crushed it, did the old man. 22 and 15 with 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block for AD. Max Christie hit a couple of threes, which was a big one. And the sort of rest of this team, you're like, all right, these are the wins that you sort of just want to see the Lakers actually bank, right? They're 37 and 32. The Hawks didn't do much on a back-to-back in LA. 13 and 10 for DeJounte Murray on 6 of 18 shooting. I'm no math magician, but shooting 30% is pretty shit. 25, 9 and 4 for Jalen Johnson, who might actually be the Hawks' best player. That dude is a weapon. He had a sick dunk where he basically completely teabagged Austin Reeves and, like, just laid his wood, his Christian wood, right on Austin Reeves' head. You're like, bang. How do you like that? It's like, not very much, sir. Clint Capella had 10 and 9 as well. 17 for Bogdan. But the Hawks just absolutely steamrolled. They're 30 and 38. Lakers 37 and 32. And finally, the Grizzlies lose by 10 in Sacramento. Weird game. It goes to overtime, and then Malik Monk goes, check this out. I'm actually, just call me Malik Jordan because I'm fucking awesome, buddy. And he crushed it. Scored 12 points alone in the OT. And the poor Grizzlies, they give up. Well, to be honest, this is a perfect loss for the Grizzlies. You play fucking hard. You get to overtime. You still lose. Doesn't matter. You're protecting your draft pick at this point. But the Kings, Jesus. Talk about putting you through the ringer. 6 of 17 for Keegan Murray. 15 and 10. 23, 7 and 10 for De'Aaron Fox. He shot 8 of 16. Not bad. Had a couple of massive clutch buckets as well. But the Kings, god damn it, they can't do anything easy because the Grizzlies, they just play hard. They just play hard every bloody game. It's a testament to Tyler Jenkins. The Kings, there is a mercurial Mike Brown-led team, isn't it? 25, 18 and 5 for the Souvlaki King. Crushed it. Had some weird facial expressions late in this game, which is pretty funny. For the Grizzlies, though, Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., 25 and 4 with 4 blocks, shot 8 of 27. Yeesh. Tell you what, 24 for Desmond Bane. Also got blocked, though, on a 3-pointer, which is embarrassing. 22 and 7 for GG Jackson. Love him. But still, just not quite enough for the Memphis Hustle featuring Triple J and Desmond Bane. But look, there's a little bit of fun stuff going on with that team. They're at least a fun watch. You might not know who the fuck anyone is on this team, but they are still fun. They're 23 and 46, the Grizzlies. Kings, 39 and 28. Desperate. Like, talk about pulling a win out your ass. Like, the Kings should have lost this game like 4 different times in regulation and then get saved by Malik Monk down the stretch. So, good stuff. Let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a night. That's a night.
I think we'll give this to the guy who killed a guy. Yeah, I think we'll do that. Anthony Edwards, Jesus Christ. Berrorated. That's right. Demolisherated. Deleted. John Collins, that's a tall cocktail. He needed a taller cocktail that much today. You need a tall cocktail after that one, especially with that fucking concussion. Derek White's triple-double was very nice. But still, the way Anthony Edwards just went, hey, did you see that dunk I just did? To the point where he went and watched it and went, fuck, that's good. Yeah, that was a good dunk. Yeah, that's probably my best one ever. And you're like, yeah, that dude's probably going to jump over somebody and put their head into the rim at the same time. And it's going to be absolutely sick. And we're all going to lose our minds. But that was a hell of a moment today. Like, Twitter just basically, what was it? It was Kim Kardashian, right? Break the internet. Anthony Edwards today just broke NBA Twitter. It was fucking sick. Everyone's just like, fuck. It's like, all right, cool. We're all melting down. It's good. Jaylen Brown had 31 points in not much time today in 30 minutes. Pretty good. Tyrese Maxey, honorable mention because the Sixers in that game could easily have lost to Miami. He just went, eh, not on my watch. 30 and 10. Awesome game for him. And Jalen Brunson. Just going absolutely toe-to-toe with Steph Curry and having his number, 34 points, 3-9 from the floor, 7 assists. He was wicked. But Anthony Edwards with a 32-point effort, 13 and 23 from the floor, 2 of 8 from 3, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, absolute weapon, killed a guy. That's the NBA Australia approved performance of the night. Who was Spud of the night, though, Jim?
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the night.
So Evan Fournier got fined $25,000 for booting the ball into the crowd the other day after that game winner from Kyrie. He's like, fuck this, bang. No, the Bam game winner, not the Kyrie one. He's on Detroit. He also then went 1 of 9 today. If there's not a bigger spud, then don't Google me Evan Fournier. I don't know who there is today. But 1 of 7 for O'Shea Brissett. Our boy Patty Mills, 1 of 6. Not great. 1 of 6 for... No, that was it. Alec Burks went 1 of 5. Caruso went 1 of 5 as well. So a couple of big spuds there. And 4 of 17 for Scoot Henderson. We might just need to pour one out for the idea of the Scoot Henderson vibes. It is a little bit sort of like past the point of... Hey, you remember when he was injured? He's working his way back. There's a point now where you're like, he also just might be a bit shit. But, you know, rookie wall, all that, we're still going to cut him a bit of slack because God bless his cotton socks. He'll be fine. And we did have a moment, I think, where we had someone shooting the magical number. In fact, it was Steph Curry from downtown. And then he proceeded to take two more shots and make one of them from three. So nobody shot the magical number, which is just, come on, man, what are we doing here? Just, that's all I want, bro. That's all I want. Anyway, bit of a shame. We had, in terms of spuds, I mean, we had a lot of people shooting around that 30% mark today. This is a little bit of the combination of like the calls not going people's way. You had Darius Garland and Josh Hart, as I mentioned, 5 of 18 is just brutal. The 4 of 14 for DeAndre Hunter. But Tyrese Halliburton went 4 of 14 as well. He has gone 6 of 36 from downtown in his last 5 games. You know who's done that? Jordan Poole and Miles Bridges. So they're the only ones who have shot 36 plus 3-point attempts in a 5-game span and only hit at most 6 of those. That's a bit spudworthy. So Tyrese Halliburton in his last 40 games is now averaging a 17.7, 3.9 rebound, 11 assist line, and only 56 true shooting percentage. 31% from 3. We know that he carried the injury, but that's like 22 games post-injury, I think, at this point. So it's a bit worrisome. It's a bit worrisome. Just saying. Just saying. Who's old mate no mates, though?
Old mate no
mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Old mate no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, Evan Fournier for booting the ball into the crowd. $25,000 less. Meanwhile, you've got like dudes throwing hot dogs. It's like, that's fine. As if you wouldn't be so pissed to boot that ball as far as you could. It's like fucking Bam Adebayo just hit a 3. He's like 3 of 3 from downtown in his last 3 attempts. It's ridiculous. I think he's like some horrible like 7 of 67 before that for his career. But obviously old mate no mates today leans very straight into the old... the pantsing of the night where Austin Reeves... we'll get to John Collins, of course. But Austin Reeves literally got teabagged by Jalen Johnson. It's like, hey, Austin Reeves, have you ever felt another man's pain laid gracefully across your forehead? Yes, once. Poor Austin Reeves. Poor one out for Austin Reeves. But of course, John Collins, who literally had to go into the concussion protocol. Well, no, I think he had to get a head injury, but wasn't in concussion protocol. I don't know how that operates in the NBA, but here we are. Ant-Man dunked it so hard he hurt himself because he sort of punched John Collins in the face as he went past. And when I say went past, I mean went over and crammed on him. But John Collins now just goes, like, this is on his tombstone, this one. Like, he literally got killed by Anthony Edwards, so it has to be, like, reading, John, here lies John Collins put into the fucking earth by Anthony Edwards, and then it has, like, one of those digital photo frames on the tombstone that's just, like, a gif of that dunk over and over and over and over. It's like, this is how the man died. But, yeah, this is, like, it's a tough read for John Collins, isn't it? It's like, the dude looks okay. He seems like a nice guy. But he got straight killed. You better believe it. All right, who was better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think he'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. I'll tell you what. Miles McBride, Deuce McBride with the 29 points. He shot 9 of 13 today. 6 of 9, nice, from 3 to go with 2 assists and a rebound. But the way he was getting his buckets, like, it was weird because the Knicks desperately needed somebody outside of Brunson to, like, hit some fucking shots, looking at you, Josh Hart. And he did. He stepped up massively. But also, I got to give this one to Keon Ellis. Jim, who the fuck is Keon Ellis, bro? Well, he's on the Sacramento Kings as the young man. 5 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. And 5 blocks. That's right, 5 blocks, including one on Desmond Bane that was 100% a pantsing. Desmond Bane, noted short person, was like, hey, check this out. I'm going to shoot a 3. And Keon Ellis goes, no, you're not. Bang, blocks it. It was bloody awesome. So he played his ass off. 34 minutes for Keon Ellis. And tell you what. The Kings might enjoy actually having him out there instead of Kevin fucking Huerta. So 5 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 5 blocks, plus 13 in 34 minutes in a game they won by 10. He was unreal down the stretch. Keon Ellis today, better than Lonzo Ball. We don't have the magic tweet today, so we'll just go right into the year-nas, I guess. right after this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadee.
This is Darryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And 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 you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. NBA Australia, yeah, nah, is brought to you by the NBA Australia shop. Get your merch, get your merch. You can find that at nbaaustralia.com/shop. Or just click through on the socials, get a hoodie, get a t-shirt. I'm wearing one right now. This is the white t-shirt. It's bloody good. Very comfortable too. I didn't scrimp on the quality of the tees, which is a big thing, right? Anyway, coffee mugs, get a stubby holder. I've got to bring a coffee mug in here. What am I doing? Jim, get your head in the game, mate. Anyway, let's do it. We've got some yeah nahs. I believe we have. Is Halliburton playing his way out of the nascent superstar status? Yeah nah! I'm going to say nah. It does feel weird that as soon as they don't have Buddy Hield, he falls to pieces though, right? It's just a bit strange. I think the shooting woes, the hammy, it's all sort of contributing to it. It's not great. It's a bit of a kick in the dick. But otherwise, it's like, here we go. I think he'll be okay. It sort of felt like the run-up to the Indiana All-Star game, him being like the face of that, him getting hurt sort of before that, the team trying to get him to the 65-game mark so he could actually sort of have his All-NBA credo sort of there. Like, it's a bit strange how that sort of works, where he might have pushed himself a little bit too hard rather than settle down, let everything heal properly. It's probably thrown off his playmaking, not having healed and like a dude that, you know, a dude that he's played with heaps right there for him the entire time. Yeah, it gets hard. I think he'll be okay though, right? Like once he's sort of used to playing with the Arkham a little bit more, once they have like a bit of a playoff run, whoever, you know, however long that is, might not be very long, like judging from where they are at the moment, which is the play-in, because they're in the seventh spot at the moment. But yeah, it gets a bit tricky. The Halliburton, the burnish is off. We got one from Scotty Baxter. Yeah, nah, does the race for the Western Conference one seed move the needle for Jokic or SGA MVP? Yeah, nah. I want to say nah. I think the result of it doesn't move the needle. I think it helps SGA's case, but I don't think it actually matters in the end. It'll just sort of come down to if Jokic plays it out, Scotty Baxter. Because that's kind of what it feels like, right? It sort of gets to this point where Jokic's numbers are just stupid, but I think everybody's sort of just come around to the idea that he's like the best player in the league and there's no two ways about it. And you go, yeah, he's just the dude. I think the only way that maybe the Western Conference top seed stuff sort of shakes out is if SGA just goes on one hell of a tear down the stretch and starts averaging instead of 31 points and always scoring 31 points, he starts averaging 38 points. And like they just keep winning. Because Denver, with that hiccup against Dallas, Luka's the other one who can make a bit of a statement as well. Because they need to really win out the Mavs. So they're the sort of my three where it's like, yeah, this last 3 weeks could actually make a big difference, but I think it's still Jokic's to lose, right? And I don't feel like if they end up the two seed that it's like, well, SGA has to win it. So I think that's sort of where I land with that one. Finally, was Anthony Edwards' dunk as good as the Lister Blister? Yeah, nah. Nah. But it was close because of the sheer fucking absolute weaponized violence, breaking the Geneva Convention-esque violence, absolutely dominating another person's soul, the sheer visceral whomp of what he did to John Collins puts me in mind of the Lister Blister. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the Lister Blister, use your fucking YouTube machine, come on, while you're watching this NBA Australia as well on your YouTube. Sean Kemp will always be my favorite player. You can see in the background here on the YouTube that we do have Key Arena. Love my Seattle Supersonics. We'll always love my Seattle Supersonics. Larry Armour Studios is covered in Supersonics paraphernalia. I love Sean Kemp. Anthony Edwards might be the closest to the absolute sheer, just weaponized violence that Sean Kemp could conjure. Because, like, Blake Griffin, incredible in-game dunker. Don't get me wrong. But Blake Griffin also always felt a little bit soft, you know? Sean Kemp was just all fast twitch, muscle, and violence. And Anthony Edwards takes after him in a big way. Blake Griffin, it was kind of like, oh, look at my sick dunk. It's like, all right, but you've also got weird little T-Rex arms. So settle down, mate. Yeah, Anthony Edwards, pretty bloody good. Unpopular opinion of the day.
Look at me.
I think the unpopular opinion here is I kind of really enjoy watching the Grizzlies. It's like absolutely, like watching the Kings and the Grizzlies today was like heaven for me. I really enjoyed it because you got one team that just plays so fucking hard all the time, the Grizzlies, with like Bain shooting 7-19 and Jaren Jackson Jr. going 8-27. You're like, how are they in this? And it's because they fucking just try so bloody hard. But on top of that, like the unpopular opinion of like, yeah, cool. Good on the NBA for going, oh yeah, no, we definitely are trying to stymie, you know, all the offensive like advantages that we're giving these players and trying to lean back towards the defenses. We're not doing that at all. It's been fucking awesome. Like it's not an unpopular opinion. That's just fucking obvious. But you watch a game like Grizzlies Kings, which again, probably 2 months ago, it was 121, 111 in overtime. 2 months ago, that's like 141, 131, right? So pretty cool. Like a downtick in scoring is not all bad. Easy as you like. All right, what about our back take? Yeah, so yeah. It's Tuesday at our back, and you know what that means? Well, on the way to work, I just took the head off a swan. Yep, chucked it in the oven when we got into the office. Boom, for your lunch break. That's right, $20 chef special roast swan. Only at Outback. That's fresh off the Yarra. I'll tell you that much, and it's bloody delicious. And it's only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, despite Jim just saying how much he enjoyed watching them, if the Sacramento Kings make the playoffs this year, they're getting swept. Only at Outback. It is really, really hard. Like, the Kings and the Pacers are the same team, which is kind of ironic because the Tyrese Haliburton Sabonis swap. But they are. They really are. The fuck all defense, the Lightning sort of scorers here and there, and Malik Monk and co. The awesome point guard who can get you buckets, but also looks a bit sketchy at times. They are basically the Spider-Man meme, but East-West. No defense, guys. And it sort of feels like the exact same thing will happen to both teams in the playoffs. If they make it, they could also get knocked out in the play-in. Like because of that lack of defense, they could drop 140 on you without blinking, but they could also get rolled in a play-in game. So we've seen Indy rip off some big runs, obviously, but I don't know, it's really hard to trust them at the moment. Anyway, the Australian Player Watch. We don't have the music for this one here in the office yet. I've got to figure that out, but let's do it. Paddy Thrills, Paddy Mills. In the loss to Philly, shot 1 of 6, 1 of 5 were from downtown. He had 3 points, 2 rebounds and 3 assists though. So he did a little bit of something. 1 turnover. I just love watching him play. It's simple as that. I love him on this Heat team. He just fits. It's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty. That's how beauty works. And then the other Aussies, Aussie Matty T, 5 minutes against Chicago, coming back from his ankle injury. Good to see him back out there. 0 of 1 from the floor. Zeros across the board. But the Great Barrier Reef. Doo-wop, shabba-doo-wop. 14 points in 17 minutes, you little beauty. 5 of 6 from the floor, 2 of 3 from downtown. 14 points, 1 rebound. Got up those rebounding numbers there, Doo-wop. And 3 fouls. But still, absolutely bloody crushed it. How about an Andrew Gaze Great Mamba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence, though? Andrew Gaze Great Mamba. Excellent. Yeah, we do we even have the old-timey basketball music? I don't even know on this one. Good times, everybody. I think we do somewhere. We did have the air now the other day of like, is Jim ever going to figure out his way around this board? And the answer remains no, which is just bloody great. Anyway, what can you do? I think it's there somewhere. Yeah, it's there. Right. The Andrew Gaze Grand Mumber Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence today goes to the Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis. He had 25 points, 18 rebounds, 5 assists, and about, I don't know, all numbers approximate, but 37 weird-looking bung faces on the way to the win over the Grizzlies. But that marked his 50th straight double-double, which is just bloody ridiculous at this point, isn't it? 50 straight for the Souvlaki King. Oh, thanks, Domantas. I'll just have the combination meat. Easy on the lettuce, bit of tomato, some garlic sauce and some chili. Thanks, mate. He has been absolutely awesome. I love the Souvlaki King. You know that. But doesn't, you know, impact defensively as much as you like. But sometimes when the numbers are like the numbers, it's pretty cool. On top of that, though, let's go to Malik Monk, where he just scored, 12 points in the overtime. That was his 24th. He ends up with 28 total points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, Malik Monk. That's his 24th 20-point game off the bench. 24. This is your sixth man of the year because nobody else has more than 15. He's a weapon, and the Kings would be up shit creek without him. So, nice one. Bloody good. He, even with the 25-5 games, he has 8. 3 are owned by second and third place. So, Malik Monk has the most since Detlef Schrempf, my beloved Detlef, in 1993. That is awesome. What an absolute legend. Great job, Malik. All right, let's do some game. Oh, Patty Mills Game Day Ball or Game Day Twitter check-in. We'll do that because we've got the different music behind this one. But he's Patty's been all over. You can tell how much happier Patty is in Miami because he's posting a shit ton more. So there's just a really good photo of him playing in Detroit, playing against the Pistons as well. So he's wearing the sick red Miami jerseys, and then he's got the white, which that looks just beautiful, the 88. And then game day, Baller. Game day. That's right. It's back, baby. And he's having a nice-looking coffee in Philly. Great job, Patty Thrills. All right. Let's do some game previews.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jim. How's it all going?
Yeah, not bad. Busy day today. Did the Supercoach show. Had to piss off over to the Sport NXT conference and stuff like that. Come back, do this. Watching a shit ton of basketball in between. But here we go on the picks. We nailed Cleveland. We nailed the changed Philly one. We nailed Boston. Missed out on Chicago. Nailed Minnesota. Nailed Memphis. Nailed the Knicks. And nailed the Lakers. So I really hope you're listening to yesterday's show because of the 9 games today, I think we went... How many? Wait, is that 9? 8 games today. We went 7 of 8 against the spread.
You little beauty.
Love to see it. Can't believe the only one we missed out on was Chicago. Bloody jerks. Killing me. All right, so tomorrow, though, interesting slate of the 5 games. We've got Charlotte at Orlando, and we know that the Magic men are trying desperately to keep up with the Knickerbockers in 4-5 in the East. They are 13.5-point favorites over Charlotte. Charlotte sneakily have put the Q in the rack. It's basically the Brandon Miller, Miles Bridges show at this point, and Orlando are still one of the best teams in the NBA covering the spread. They do have the forwards to contend with the Hornets, obviously, with Paolo and Franz. Suggs is out there crushing it. I'm going to take Orlando minus 13.5, especially at home. This is a tricky one. Houston at Washington. We know that Washington are bad. We know that Washington are sucking and trying to suck. And we know that Houston have been playing really well and covering, like, out of nowhere. They've won 5 on the trot. 8.5 points, though, the Rockets are favorite to buy. Can they cover the 8.5? That's a really good question. Let's have a look at some of the history between these two teams. Because Houston have been really tough to get a read on. Obviously, they're very, very inconsistent. And tomorrow morning, look, they kicked the crap out of the Wizards back in, it was like last week, 135-119. Covered the 8.5-point spread then. They have covered 4 of their last 5. They've won 5 on the trot now, Houston, covering a 5-point spread, 8.5-point spread, 2.5, 7, and 7. The Wizards have not covered in 4 straight, including an absolute smackdown at the hand of the Boston Celtics, smackdown at the hand of the Bulls, And obviously, last week, a smackdown to the hand of the Rockets. So they even lost to the Grizzlies by 10. So we're going to have to go -8.5 the Rockets, even on the road, where the Rockets have been bad this year, but they have gotten better. Because I believe their road record is like now up to 9 wins and 24 losses. But those four wins, you know, have come recently. So happy days. Let's go the 8.5 for the Rockets. New Orleans go to Brooklyn. The Nets are horrible. And there is no way I'm taking the Nets at home against anybody half decent. And the Pels, despite some weird inconsistencies a lot of the time, are very good. The sheer size of them should kick the crap out of Brooklyn anyway. The big rig Zion, 7.5 points. I'm taking that in a heartbeat. Give them the Pels all day. The Nets, you can't trust them as far as you can throw them. Them losing that game to the Spurs is just inexcusable the other day. And the Nets, their season's cooked. 1-2-3 Cancun. Dallas at San Antonio. This is Wembanyama versus Lively and Gafford, Luka and Kyrie. In San Antonio, it's a big battle to Texas. I am going to take Dallas -7.5. It's a favorite run, but I'm still going to take it just because I don't really trust the Spurs. Keldon Johnson, Devin Vassell had a really good game against the Celtics. I think Dallas can probably just put up too many points in the San Antonio defense for them to keep up. We know that the Dallas defense is not much chop either, aka their name is Alice instead of Dallas because there's no D, but they should still win by more than 8.5. Well, more than 7.5, sorry. So that leaves us then to Denver at Minnesota. Minnesota obviously haven't played today. The reigning champs on the road in Minneapolis. I'm going to take Minnesota +5.5 in this one because I feel like after today's win, well, look, if Rudy Gobert plays, I'm taking the Wolves +5.5. If he does not play, probably go the Nuggets -5.5 because, you know, if there's no Naz Reid and Gobert, then we're in a lot of trouble. But if both of them play or if Rudy plays, I feel like the Wolves could actually get onto something here. Anthony Edwards might have a massive game, so that'd be pretty fun. Either way, 5 games tomorrow. We'll wrap them all up for you on tomorrow's show, because that is it for today. That's right. Boom. There you go. NBA Australia done. You can check us out tomorrow because we do this every bloody day, don't we? And of course, you can check out the AFL Today show as well as the official AFL Supercoach podcast, which I'm, the host of. But AFL Today, go subscribe to it right now if you like your AFL footy. It's very fun. It's very loose. It's a lot of footy talk just from a couple of nuffs. 3 nuffs, in fact. I love nuffing out about footy. It's bloody great. And across the socials, make sure you're following NBA Australia, Twitter, Facey, IG. Of course, YouTube. You can watch me do this and I can go, wee. You can see me doing stuff. It's pretty fun. Get around to NFL Australia. Gaz and I are going to do a big free agency rap show pretty soon as well. And check us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, whatever app you use on your Android phone. For all the shows that we do, NBA Australia, AFL Today Show, Cricket Today Podcast, Football Today Podcast, NFL Australia, coming soon, NRL Today. So get right around them. And get around NBAAustralia.com/shop and get your merch, get a hoodie, get a t-shirt that's as cool as this one, bang. Get a stubby holder, get a coffee mug, there's only a couple of those left. Big thanks always go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Check out House Hats, Joshua Delarenta's Fascinator, Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa Section, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J on Earth, Facey, Apple Music, Spotify, however you listen to your tunes. Support Australian bands because that's what NBA Australia does. And that'll be it. No skit today because we're in the office and it's always a bit weird because I don't have time to fuck around. All right, we'll catch you tomorrow, dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying look after yourselves, would ya? And let us in now!